priceless treasure, plant of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Along in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer not to hide thee, not I ask beside thee.
And you are listening to Jesus, Priceless Treasure, which will be the hymn appointed for the seventh Sunday of Pentecost, which is coming up this Sunday. And today is July the 7th in the year of our Lord 2015. And being a Tuesday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith.
Hi, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Good. Great. Love the summer, don't you? I hate to see it. Hate to see it move, move on.
No, you keep on saying that.
Oh, I know. I'll tell you.
No,
you
it's
know,
too
already,
hot.
We're already past the 4th of July already, you know? I know how quickly August comes. And, you know, the kids start back to school in August, middle of August.
Oh, and at your school?
Yeah, right.
If they're interested in becoming a student at your parochial school, what number do they phone? Well, give us your church number.
Well, they can call me at area code 314-843-8448. We can certainly direct them to the... It's an association, you know, it's not
so
just our own.
So depending on
school.
The age will depend the place they go.
Right, right.
So
we have pre-K in our facility. We have a very fine pre-K program.
Pre-kids? You know. Before they're kids?
No, pre-kindergarten.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, Tom.
Of course.
Yes.
So how many locations you have?
There are three. Let's see. Four. We have four campuses at four different Lutheran churches. There are five Lutheran churches in the association.
So
four different campuses.
If you have a child, one in grade two and another in grade five, they go to different campuses?
Yes.
Wow, that was an interesting yes.
Well, because we switched grade five over to the other campus. I had to think there a minute.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a very fine school. Blue Ribbon School. Christ Community Lutheran School. It's a Blue Ribbon School. And also highly regarded by our own...
What do you mean? You got blue ribbons on the buildings or something? What does that mean?
No, it's received a blue ribbon. I guess it's a presidential award.
Going on to our hymn for today.
Okay.
Jesus, Priceless Treasure. Well, at least it's not a rainbow school.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You are not kidding there.
All righty. I don't know that much about Johann Franck, who died in 1677, but he's the one who wrote this. But, of course, it's my favorite translator.
Catherine Winkworth, yes.
Yeah.
Boy, she was really busy.
Oh, I know.
I tell you, that lady, that dear lady, boy, you know, in the 1800s, she was really working.
I mean, the rhyme, like the first line, Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure. Be interesting to see what the original really read. But to get treasure and pleasure rhyming, that's hard to do in the English, and trying to stay with the original as close as possible.
You aren't kidding.
But there are six verses, so we better get going on this. And if you would be so kind to read the first stanza.
Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Ah, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine. I will suffer not to hide thee. Not I ask beside thee.
Yeah, I remember when my kids were growing up, I was saying, how much are you going to, you know, give to Sunday school when you go there? And they looked at me and said, not. And I had
It's not spelled N-O-U, of course. N-O-T. Well, I can't talk this morning.
Did you sleep last night? N-A-U-G-H-T.
That's used several times in this hymn. If you don't know what not means, you're in trouble.
Yes.
This really definitely needs explanation.
That's when
Because it says, I will suffer not to hide thee. For one thing, suffer, we all think, well, suffer, that means, suffering. No, what it means is, I will permit nothing to hide thee, yes. Jesus. That's what that means. It doesn't mean I'll suffer nothing to hide thee. That doesn't make sense.
Yes. So what does that mean in the life of the Christian?
It means I will permit nothing. We are witnesses. And I will not let anything get in the way of that.
Many pastors, fortunately not that many Lutheran except for Elka, who are permitting Jesus to be hid these days.
That is right.
They won't speak out against abortion. They won't speak out against gay marriage because, we don't want to divide the congregation.
We don't want to offend anybody.
Oh, so they offend God.
Yeah.
Boy. But this hymn, he was living at a time when there was war between the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans. There was a lot of problems going on. So for somebody to be this bold in their confession, that really says something.
Yeah, I will permit nothing to hide thee.
And nothing
I ask beside thee. I don't ask for anything else. Christ is my everything.
Yes, not I ask beside thee doesn't mean I don't want anything beside you. No, he's talking, the word beside there means apart from you.
Right.
There's nothing I ask except you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just don't understand that we have that problem.
Even cell phones can get in the way sometimes.
Well, I wish you would turn your cell phone off when we come here.
I don't even have one, Tom.
Well, that's what I mean. This invisible cell phone of yours just keeps going on all the time. So, not I ask beside thee, nothing. A lot of people don't understand that. That all we need is Christ. Because when they go grocery shopping, why do they need Christ? When they go grocery shopping.
Well, because, without him, the whole universe would fall apart.
Exactly. In other words, chaos would reign.
You aren't
God kidding. Is walking with you on your way to the grocery store. Because if the devil had his way...
He would too, boy.
I always say this at a church service. I said, you don't believe how much the devil was minimized today because he wanted every one of you to be in a car crash so you couldn't get to church. And sometimes that does happen, but when God does that, he has a bigger purpose. So the word not, you'd want to explain that, and the word suffer... Yeah. Meaning permit here.
Permit, right.
Yes.
Suffer means permit there.
Yes.
So, not is nothing.
Yeah. Nothing more I ask than besides you. I'll read stanza 2. In thine arms I rest me. Foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash. Yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me.
That's a comforting verse, isn't it?
It is, but it's scary. How does hell assail us?
Well, he's, just think of what Jesus himself endured, in the wilderness when his temptation.
Well, how about Eve and Adam?
Right. And think, well, of course.
That was hell.
Yeah. Sometimes he works. Satan. Sometimes he works very subtly,
Who?
Satan.
Or his
demons.
Yeah.
They're all around us. Paul talked about the powers of the air.
Yes. Actually, God works even more subtly.
Right.
Because
a still small whisper.
Yeah, that's me. I'm not to Elijah on the mountain.
Right.
I'm not the big thunder. I'm not the fire. I'm that still small whisper, which is the word of God. And so, thus saith the Lord ought to be at the front of every sermon.
That's right.
Not thus saith me. So, what does this mean? In thine arms I rest me. That's interesting.
We rest in his forgiving arms because we go to the promises of our baptism. Remember, that's what reminds me of. In thine arms I rest me. Well, I think of a number of things. You think of that, that David C. Hook picture of the mighty Jesus, that good shepherd nestling in his arms that little lamb.
I was just going to mention that. I was at Rosebud. preaching this last Sunday, and they have two huge murals on the wall. The one of them is Jesus carrying the sheep with all of the sheep following him.
Yes. Oh,
but he's carrying a lamb, not a sheep.
Right.
And then the other one has him in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's huge.
Yes.
The gentleman who painted them died last week.
Was he a member of the congregation?
Yes, he was.
Ooh, wow.
So no I know had a prayer, Lindberger, I think it was, or it was something, Lineberger, or something like that. And he had done, they said, even other ones at other churches.
What church was this now?
Rosebud.
Rosebud. Rosebud, Illinois.
No, that's Missouri? Redbud.
Okay. Rosebud, Missouri?
Missouri, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It was where one
of
our...
Well, that's a meaningful portrait for people to see. Big huge mural, huh? Where is it?
Would
the school
say
building or church?
Right beside the altar, on either side of the altar.
Oh, wow.
It must be at least 8 feet high.
Yeah. So when your sermon's lousy, people could just gaze upon that picture, right?
Most of them were gazing at the clock.
That's the picture. You know, that's the benefit of a mural or a stained glass window is, you know, hey, everybody has their bad days preaching-wise. But you know you can still
speak
look
for yourself.
You can still look upon that picture and you know your mind doesn't wander so much.
For the announcements, my sermon was all about you know how we should suffer for our sins, you know, because of the curse of the law, but we can walk with Jesus. So I pointed. I said we're not suffering for our sins because He did, and I pointed to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
Praying.
Yes.
And then I said, and we're always walking with him, and I pointed to the other one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. See, you can...
But this one here, in thine arms I rest me. So,
baptism is another thing I think of there.
Oh, yes, yes.
You always return to the promises of that baptism.
So we can get pretty bold against Satan if you'll read stanza 3.
Satan, oh, I love this verse. Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me, while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour. Earth and all its depths adore him. Silent, bow before him. What a powerful verse, huh?
Yes, there's a way in which hymnody is very poetic. There are some people who, when they write a sermon, it's just naturally that way.
Yeah.
I would say Marquardt.
Excellent example. Yes.
A professor at our theological seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, who has a sleep in Jesus now.
Yes.
And I would also say Pastor Peter Kurowski, somebody we both know, is very poetic in his writings and his sermons.
Another one was very good. You know, I remember Professor Norm Nagel.
Oh, yes.
I remember him even at Valparaiso when he was when he was a professor there. And I remember kids saying, boy, he sounds just like King James.
Yes.
You know, that Australian.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He had a kind of a British accent, too, and such. And, he's still with us and was on Issues, Etc. not long ago.
Right.
They go and see him. And, in fact, I just pulled down a video of him. He's in a wheelchair, and he was doing a wonderful theological treatise, and he ended up singing at the end.
Is that right?
It was really something.
Wow.
4. Hence all earthly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure. Jesus is my choice, hence all empty glory, not to me thy story, told with tempting voice, pain or loss, or shame or cross, shall not from my Savior move me, since he deigns to love me.
A deign. What does deign mean?
Deign?
Yeah.
D-E-I-G-N. Mark always asks me when he doesn't know the answer. He's trying to get
it. I caught you flat-footed. I caught you.
No, I can't believe it.
You don't have an answer.
No, I do.
Oh, yeah.
Since he deigns to love me, since he has promised to love me, since he has
determined to love me.
Determined to love. Yes. Yeah, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
To deign something means I deign to go to the grocery store today.
I decided.
Determined.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that fits because it says Jesus is my choice, you know, here. Now, can an unbeliever make that choice?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that question. No. So it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Who's singing this hymn?
A Christian.
Yeah, Christians are singing this hymn. This is not a hymn from an unbeliever.
Once they've been brought to faith, they can make that choice, can't they?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but not before. Not before the Holy Spirit works faith in their hearts.
Yes. Explain this. Hence all empty glory, not to me thy story, told with tempting voice. Explain that.
Hence all empty glory, not to me thy story, told with tempting voice. Boy, how did I miss that verse? Hence all empty glory, nothing to me thy story. In other words, glory, the world's glory means nothing to me.
Yes.
That's what I get out of that. All empty glory, all the tinsel and fanfare of this world means nothing compared to Jesus.
Yes, in comparison to the story of Jesus.
Jesus is my choice.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I don't need the tinsel and all the fanfare of this fleeting world.
Yeah, that's pretty good for somebody who didn't read it carefully.
I don't know how I missed that. That is a little difficult.
Well, I'll tell you how, because you were trying to get me stuck on Dane.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dane. So now we speak about you, verse 5. Evil world, I leave thee. Thou canst not deceive me. Thine appeal is vain, since sin that once did blind me, get thee far behind me. Come not forth again. Pass thy hour, O pride and power. Sinful life, thy bonds I sever. Leave thee now forever. Gives the impression that you stop sinning, but that's not possible.
No.
What's it saying here?
No. It's like Paul says, the good that I would, I'm
unable to do.
Yeah, right. I mean,
what's this verse about?
You can begin at least to get thee behind me. You know, in other words, we do make a beginning as far as what we want to do. We want to live our life in Christ now. And okay, granted, we daily sin much, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment.
I've often said that the mark of the Christian is that you believe you're sinning more today than yesterday.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
How does this make any sense then, that since that once did blind me, get thee far behind me? I think the key is the second last sentence. Sinful life, thy bonds I sever. How do we sever sinful life?
Sinful life, thy bonds I sever.
Well, think of it. What's the bonds of sin?
You caught me flat-footed.
The curse of the law.
Oh, the curse of the law. Okay.
How do we sever that?
Baptism.
That's what God does with us.
Okay.
But we do repentance.
Oh, okay. All right.
In repentance. All right. The bonds that I was stuck with, Satan now loses them. They're severed. Because God isn't looking. This is really important. This is what the whole Reformation is about. That God isn't looking for someone who improves their life and their good works. He's looking for someone who acknowledges that they're poor, sinful beings deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, and they fall totally on the mercy and grace of Christ.
Like the publican in the temple.
Exactly.
God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
He severed the bonds of sin.
The Pharisee didn't.
Very good.
Jesus says, which one of those two went home justified that day? The Pharisee did not.
Yes. And of course, that was the popular teaching. Oh, no, it wasn't. That wasn't the popular teaching. In fact, Jesus got crucified for stuff like
that. That's right.
Yeah, I often say that Jesus was crucified for a number of reasons. One of them is he really put down the so-called religious leaders. Another one is that he made women equal to men. A third one is he brought in those who weren't supposed to go into the temple, and like the woman with the issue of blood, and called her daughter.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus was a rabble-rouser. He was.
You gotta be careful with that. Now, you got to...
From the point of view of the Pharisees?
Okay, you always got to have to explain that, right? Because, you know, you don't want to... I don't want to think of Jesus as a rebellious.
Oh, he was totally rebellious.
Okay, Tom.
Oh, yeah, he rebelled against
I don't know if people like to hear that.
Who cares?
I don't know.
That's exactly what the attitude of the disciples.
We're not liberation theologians, though, are we?
No.
Not in that sense,
I'm talking about Mary, his mother, and his brothers asking him, stop talking like that.
Right.
You're embarrassing us.
Yes.
You're too rebellious.
And then he looks at those that were listening to his word. You are my mother, sister, and brother.
And how did he define them?
If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples.
Those who hear my word and trust it and such like that. So, that really helps with some of the parables, too, where it sounds like it's a negative person. But Jesus was really a negative person in that day and age on the part of many of the religious leaders. They were so afraid of his rebellion that they thought the Romans would come and take their power away.
That is true, yes.
So
that's true.
Yes. So I'm glad you had me explain it. And now if you will read stanza 6.
Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure.
And here again, reading the English, you don't really know what words you're reading. Like, for instance, I here must bear.
Yes.
Is that here H-E-A-R or H-E-R-E?
I hear H-E-R-E. That means what I bear on this earth,
right.
In this veil of tears.
What's happening right now.
Right.
I think one of the most powerful phrases in this whole hymn is here, because when you listen to a lot of evangelicals like Rick Warren, the reason you're not getting more blessings is you're not obedient enough. That's what he's saying now, his new reformation.
Is that right?
So
say that again now. What's he saying again?
The reason you are not getting more blessings is you are not obedient enough.
That's Rick Warren.
Yes, okay. That's his new reformation. And the human calls.
We don't agree with that, of course.
Oh, heavens no.
Yeah, we'll make that clear to the people.
No.
Do not.
If you're a Christian, nothing happens to you that's not a blessing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nothing could separate us from the love of God.
Yeah, because what is a blessing is Jesus keeping his promise.
Right.
Well, when did he not keep his promise to his children, to his brothers and sisters? But, therefore, when a storm gathers and we don't have peace outside of us, a lot of people think, why is God angry with me? How many Christians have come to you and say, this terrible thing happened to me. What did I do to
deserve it?
Yes.
Yeah. We still have that peace which surpasses understanding.
Well, what does it say?
It's like,
you
though the
read
storms
it.
May gather.
The next line.
Though the storms may gather, still have peace within.
It's that last word.
Yeah.
The peace is not outside.
Within.
It's within.
Right.
Now, what does that mean? Well, one of the worst storms that can occur is the death of a loved one.
Right.
But if we are comforted by the fact that the loved one is in heaven,
with
we can have a peace within.
That's right.
Even though outside we're falling apart.
That is right.
And we can only imagine that every disciple except maybe John was martyred. I'm quite sure as they were being martyred, having their head cut off, hanging upside down on the cross, etc., that they were afraid and that they were nervous, but they still had a peace within.
That's right. They knew they were with their Savior.
This is why false teaching is so bad. I was just watching.
It can rob us of that comfort.
I was watching a movie last night, and a Muslim was going to blow himself up. And the last words his leader said to him is, today you will be in paradise. So he thought, of course, that he was going to be in paradise with all the wonderful things.
Was he mistaken?
Oh, well, he ended up being stopped from blowing up, but he still got shot to death. And then he found out that the paradise is called H-E-L-L.
Yeah.
Yeah. So false teaching is horrible. It kills people. And stars people. One of the reasons in India that so many people don't have enough food is they don't kill cows.
Yes, I know.
And eat them because of their doctrine of reincarnation. This could be my brother who's a cow now who died. You know, so false teaching. This is why It's so important to recognize the wonderful benefits a country gets when they become Christians. You know, women are put equal to men. Hospitals are built. Dr. Schmidt has a good book on that.
Yes.
Talking about all the advantage of Christians.
You're talking about Reverend Al Schmidt.
Yes, yes. Often on issues, etc., and was at their meeting. And I'm sure you're going to be preaching about this stuff. And when are you going to be doing that this week?
That'll be, of course, well, we do have a Saturday service at 5 p.m., Saturday at 5 p.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection, 8646 New Sappington. And, of course, Sunday is the main service, Sunday at 9 a.m.
Okay.
We'd love to have you.
In about 1 hour, I'll be at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet as we continue with the Heidelberg Disputation, and we'd love to have you there. Don't hesitate to come. 9733 Olive Boulevard. This week, I'm preaching at Trinity Orchard Farm.
And we have
and we're school too. Also very interested in your support of us. Please listen.
For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.